Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Well, Phil, it's a rather sort of inclement,
yes,
humid day.
Sticky.
It is.
Yeah, like a Queensland day here in Gawler East.
Yeah, although I hear it's raining down at Mawson Lakes.
It drizzled this morning down there. Beautiful.
So,
beautiful.
So the kayak's tied up to the front fence,
no,
is it?
I'm watching the mushrooms. The tomatoes grow on my tree down there.
What?
Yes. Yep. Beautiful.
Hang on.
I'll be picking soon.
It's the stuff in between the mushrooms.
No, tomatoes, not mushrooms. I've made a blueberry. Anyway, let's get on to...
Look, I'm anxious to hear about your lawn bowls career.
Let's get on to the Bros and Light Bowling Association. Rick?
Yes.
Last week?
Yes.
Newry played Mount Pleasant.
Yep.
Mount Pleasant been going along all right, as we've mentioned every other week.
Yep.
But not so much this week. Newry are back. Rick, they are back. Narrow defeat last week to Angaston and a good win to them today, on Saturday, sorry. 115-80. Stewie Forbes back in some sort of form. Beat Hambley by 20 shots. So good win there.
Yes.
He was the biggest winner for the day. Yadunda have been going along all right. But they came up against an in-form now Kapunda. And you'd under 73, Kapunda 103. So that's a very good win. And can I add that Peter Luckett, in that rink, in the biggest winning rink of the day, which was Cat Green's rink.
The great Peter.
Yep, Peter. So he's obviously, you know, in a bit of form. 22 shots up, their rink.
What?
So that's a good win, isn't it?
That is a very
sound.
Yeah,
he probably got double pay or something, I suppose, for that sort of win.
Well, he'd be on incentives.
Oh, yeah, to be.
Yeah, so...
20 plus, probably, 20, probably another 100 bucks, I suppose, or a couple hundred.
Oh, a couple of hundred.
Yeah, in the brown paper bag, I suppose, out the back. Yeah. Okay, we move on. Tanunda, bottom of the table, here they are, played top of the table. So you would think, Rick.
You would actually
you
think.
You would think it's going to be
a
big
mark. Really?
And it was.
Oh.
74-109.
Oh.
Justin Morris, he was the biggest win for the day, 18 shots. So Angaston go on the merry way. Lindock playing the struggling Freeling now. Struggling because they've lost a lot of players. And
so you keep telling me.
Yep, yeah. Well, a big loss.
You'd actually think by now they'd have sorted all that out, wouldn't you?
Well... Where do you get players from, Rick? That's the only thing. If they leave, where do you get the new ones
from?
They've
got plenty of money, I
think. Not in the bowling club. Lindock, 119. Freeling, 69. Sean Marnie, one of our valued listeners on this high-rating sports podcast.
Highest.
Yeah, in Gawler.
No, worldwide. Only. Worldwide.
Anyway, Sean, 33 shots up, had a big day out over Simon Clark.
33?
33 shots. I don't know whether Simon turned up with his three.
Do you know Simon? Or?
No, don't know him at all.
Was that their first game?
Don't know. But Sean, obviously in awesome form.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So there you go. So quickly, Rick, I'll just run through the ladder, and it's pretty boring because Angaston's still on top, undefeated. Newry, Yadunda, Lindock, Kapunda moving up a bit. Mount Pleasant moving down. Freeling moving down to second bottom. And Tanunda still holding up the bottom of the ladder. Quickly, just four undefeated players. Justin Morris, Wayne Newell, Ian Ellsworthy and Jimmy Bryson, all from Angaston, Rick. So that just goes to show
domination.
What sort of year they are having up there at Angaston.
That Friday night dinner still hasn't arrived.
No, still looking for that. But anyway, we haven't mentioned that their Super League thing much either, I suppose.
Oh,
so that's probably gone out the window.
Right.
But anyway, so this week, quickly, Rick, we'll do a quick tip because I have got this week's... I got them all right last week because we didn't do the tip.
That's exactly.
So quickly, we got Freeling and Newry. Well, that's Newry for me. Mount Pleasant and Angaston. Angaston for me. Kapunda versus Lindock at Kapunda. Be a good game.
Kapunda.
I think I will go for Kapunda at home. Tanunda and Yadunda at Tanunda. I might go Tanunda for a win.
Yeah, I'd go for Tanunda too.
So there we go. Quickly, Rick. just moving on to the Metro Bowls.
Yes.
Metro Midweek Bowls.
Yes. There isn't any other, is there?
Oh, I don't think there is. I played Happy Valley down at the beautiful Happy Valley, Rick.
It's very nice.
Very down there. Nice. Yeah, yeah. Very nice. Water bottle trip down there, you know.
Well, it isn't a kayak. Yeah.
Yeah, we counted for Happy Valley at home, which is a tough deck down there. And I actually quite enjoyed it. 106-89, Rick. So we moved up the table a little bit.
All right.
Play Clarence Gardens this week at home. And you know what I say about us playing at home.
Never lose at home. But they are top of the table.
No, they're not. No, they're just below us. So probably should get the victory, touch wood.
And probably just, touch wood. Yeah. That is a... As a sports psychologist, that doesn't come over strongly.
And quickly, Rick, $30 first prize in the raffle down there.
Oh,
so that, I know that makes you makes you very happy.
I just cannot believe
how many raffles. I know
you keep winning them.
It's unreal. Can I quickly say, good mate of mine, Robbie McEwen, played up at the Newry tournament on Sunday.
Yes.
Had a good win with a few of his mates from all different clubs. So well done to Robbie.
Well done.
So that's about all of the bowls.
Now, listen, tell me, have you got any football news?
A little bit. I'm really struggling to get out of a couple of family members who Tanunda have actually got, but they're all signed up apparently. And I did hear... I think it could be another Sturt player, but they've got all their quota and their points are all taken. But I will find out in the next week or
so. I'm very worried about your football rumours and Tanunda in particular, because I can remember the year before last you had three gun players all coming back.
Well, they were.
None of which appeared.
No, they didn't. They end up getting a couple of Sturt rejects, I think. But anyway. Quickly... Kyle Jenner is coming back to play a half a dozen games for Newry Upta. He is signed, sealed and delivered. Coaching Central's under-18s, but the games that don't coincide with the Newry games, he will be back and playing.
Oh,
and Lord, that is a definite. That's not a rumour.
That is breaking news.
Quickly, Zach Butters, what do we think about him? Signed on now?
Oh, well,
should he be a captain? Should he be a leader of the club?
Well, I mean, to be honest, and you know, it's a long time since I was involved in a footy club. I think the role of a football captain is overrated. You know, what do? They toss the coin. They don't make any decisions on field. I'm talking about on field.
Yeah.
You know, you can have an image. I mean, like, there's a huge difference in the responsibility. I mean, if they're making decisions on the field, what are all those blokes up in the grandstand with microphones and head...
Well, 15 coaches.
Yeah. So I think the role is overrated, unlike the role of a cricket captain who makes all the decisions.
Yeah, well, you've got to move the field. And, yeah, I suppose you're sort of right. I mean, he can't lift his game to another level because he's at that level already.
That's right. And so,
and lead by example, because
With all due respect to Port's retiring captain, as it were, I mean, I was surprised he got given the job in the first place. But, you know, I don't know that his captaincy had a major influence on...
No.
I mean, I've got nothing against Butters being captain.
Mm.
If the role in whatever subconscious... pressures that it may involve affects his play.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I went out to lunch on Sunday with Ryan Kiddo's wife and her mum, and I just said, oh, I suppose his life's changed a bit. And she said, yeah, it sure has. The phone calls they get for media, you know, all these interviews, and they want to speak to the captain, rah, rah, rah. I suppose it all takes its toll, you know.
Well, I mean, there's the problem, and it doesn't, and that's true, you know, forgetting about the pressure on the field.
Mm.
If he's captain of the Port Adelaide Football Club, who's supposedly going to win a premiership yet again.
3 and 5 years.
Yeah. Then he will be under pressure, not on-field pressure, but off-field pressure.
Yeah.
And so therefore...
Commitments.
See, that's exactly... And that's where the decision on who gets the gig and who doesn't is very significant.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was surprised to hear that. And I mean, you know, Ryan's taken it on board. Yeah. But, you know, is that too much for a young fella like Zach? You know, I don't know.
Well,
It didn't do much to Bokey, did it, that year? He was a captain for a couple of years. I thought his game, and then he stepped back up, I thought. But yeah, anyway, I mean, time will tell.
Yeah, I mean, I can't recall now what age it was that Bokey was given the gig. Yeah, neither can I. But for a reason that I cannot prove, I would have thought Bokey might have been a little bit older than Butters at the time.
I think he was. I reckon he was. I reckon he's probably mid-20s or something like that. Okay, enough of my jabble. That's all done.
I've got a leading question for you.
What is it?
What do you think of Mitchell Johnson's comments concerning the great David Warner?
Oh, he might have been a little bit harsh, was he? Or
harsh?
Yeah.
Harsh?
Will you hit me with some facts that...
Well, I mean...
Who else is there to open? Who's going to open? Otherwise?
It was surely a vicious attack, wasn't it? I've been reading...
Vicious?
A vicious attack. I don't know who this Ben Horn is, but I think it's time he pulled his horns in. How can you describe Mitchell Johnson suggesting that David Warner's batting statistics, and I love the way he described it, average in Test cricket in the last few seasons would be about an acceptable level for a very low order batsman. Now, I mean, tell me which bit of that isn't the truth.
No, I do agree. I mean, he has struggled, and especially in Test matches, hasn't he?
And what worries me is the journalistic lack of ethics throughout the entire sporting world. I mean, you can say it was, let's face it, Mitch Johnson's own opinion.
Mm.
It's not it was him saying what he thought. For Ben Horn or anyone else, whether they agree or disagree, to use the description vicious attack, I mean, that's stretching the imagination, surely. And I will, the only part that, you know, and of course he was just trying to add information and support his own argument. Yep. The only bit you could say, well, is there a point where you forgive and forget, was Johnson's inference concerning Warner's involvement in the Papergate scandal. And of course, so was Smith and so was Bancroft. Now, Uzi Khawaja, in his beautiful diplomatic form on television recently, suggested that both Smith and Warner were his heroes, and I'm not sure in what context you place that, but nevertheless, and that when asked whether he was going to retire, and he suggested, have a look at my face, I look as though I'm about 25, and whether Labuschagne would be the new opener. He was very funny when he said Labuschagne would definitely have an answer to that. And it wouldn't be yes. Anyway, what I'm concerned about is that they're trying to make something out of nothing. Mm. I mean, I have gone in my column and said, in fact, before Johnson did, that I think the error of the way, and maybe it's arrogance, maybe it's overconfidence, maybe it's all of the above, but the mistake that Warner's made in rubbing a number of people up the wrong way is saying, well, I'll play until I don't want to play.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's like saying, well, I'm beyond the selectors.
Yeah, yep.
And that's, I mean, if you've got a Bradman average, you may get away with saying that. But when you've got a batting average like Warner's got in his recent Test performances, then I'd say how dare he nominate that he's even going to play one more, let alone three, and then I'll retire.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yep.
So, Uzi handled it quite well, I thought.
There was no way Uzi was going to say, no, he should be dropped or whatever, because he's got to open the batting with him.
Well, exactly.
I mean, quick single here.
And he said this is where,
you know,
any concept of ethics in sports journalism, print media, television media, any media you like to think about, has gone out the window. It would never have happened back in the 50s, the 60s, or whatever, that you ask a fellow's opening partner.
Yeah, what they think.
Whether he should be in the test
imagine
team.
Imagine the guy
not.
Would have said about you.
Well, yeah. but I mean, it's just unthinkable that you would even subject a current player to that. And as I said, it's even more hypocritical because it's his opening partner.
Yeah, that's right.
So as if Aussie's going to say, well, of course he should have been dropped. He should have been dropped 8 Test matches ago.
A couple quick singles
I've been trying to run him out. Anyway,
What else we got, Rick?
But honestly, that you know whether he deserves a selection or not, that's just that just disappears into the ether compared with our great Jake Lehman.
Oh. How's he been going?
Well, he is surely captain by default. I mean, it's all very well to say you have a bad patch, but for our good listeners and yourself,
yes,
Jake Lehman's last 9 innings for South Australia, right, last 9 innings, his highest score is 8. Not 80.
No, can't
have
been.
8. His total aggregate in those 9 innings, 34. Average, 3.77.
His mum's got to stop ringing him, doesn't she?
At least she wouldn't have to wait long.
She won't have to wait at all. He's on his way.
I've got to just say this quickly. I'll read them out. These are his last 9 innings. 8-0-6-2-4-2-4-8-0. Now, I don't care whether South Australia is lacking in quality cricketers, which obviously you've only got to look at the results is a fair statement to make or assessment to make. But there is a message to be sent. How can you keep selecting a bloke who's averaging 3 over his last 9 innings, let alone he's captain of the team. Say no more.
I agree.
Say no more.
Have we not got any local cricket news this week, Rick?
Well,
I've caught him out again, listeners.
No, that's not
no
true.
No research.
That's not true.
All washed out.
No.
About 40 degrees.
I did a very good game. South Gawler.
Yes.
I think I might have nominated on last week's show, chasing 244, Angaston's 244. I suggested that if their batting was up to scratch and they took it on, they could get them. And in fact, they got the 244 is a good chase.
How'd the Barker boys go?
They missed out. But Chris Grazer made 70 or 80.
Yep.
A couple of the others. David Goldner, 20 not out, solid performance at the back end. They got there with about an over and a half to spare. As we thought, the only game that had been washed out from the previous week was Tanunda and Malalar. And against what I would have predicted,
Tanunda
got up and won.
Trent?
Trent did not play. Now, I don't know. He was named in the 2-day, I mean, whether he was going to miss. Sammy Calhoun was back for the one. And you know the other two games, Sandy. I mean, there's this huge gap at the bottom.
Yeah.
So when the top plays the bottom, it is. But anyway,
that's all right. We'll get an updated version next week when he's a bit more organised. Unlike myself.
Dear listeners, that is very unfair. Well, at that point, I'd like to ask you a challenging question.
Yes.
What's a Christmas tree and a 60-year-old man got in common?
You tell me, Rick.
The wood is dead and the balls are for decoration.
Merry Christmas to our listeners.
That's right. Ho, ho, ho and all those things. So until next week, this is Rick.
And Phil.